You're listening to a sermon by Evan Kreider, read by Janice Kreider on Sunday, January 7th, 2018, at the Point Grey Interminonite Fellowship in Vancouver, British Columbia. The opinions expressed by the speaker are not necessarily those of the church. This recording is licensed for personal use by individuals only and may not be copied, broadcast, or redistributed without the prior permission of the church board. For more information, please visit our website at www.pgimf.org.
Even though the story of the wise men or magi or magicians or kings is told only in Matthew's gospel, it is well known to both Christians and non-Christians. Department stores prominently feature the three kings in Christmas displays. They prefer to think of the men as kings, since three wise professors would be rather less colorful. Manger scenes often have the shepherds and the kings gathered simultaneously rather than 2 years apart. And many of us can likely sing the first verse of We Three Kings by memory, even though it's not in our hymnals. And this is my part to it. I was looking through my Christmas cards, and we get fewer Christmas cards every year, and we get fewer religious Christmas cards every year. But we did get one here that just straggled in this week on the Three Kings. So I'm going to put it up here. It's a beautiful card, but I don't know how historically true it is. Like the other infancy stories, this one is fascinating, filled with metaphors and things to contemplate. Since I assume the story to be more legendary rather than totally historic, I'm not concerned about attempting to identify these men, figuring out where they came from, what the light or the star was, nor will I attempt to explain Herod's inexplicable actions. Instead, I want to look at several of the story's themes, some of which might still be of interest today. I believe that these themes are the reasons people enjoy telling this strange story, and the reason they convince someone to record the story with the other infancy stories about Jesus of Nazareth. The storyteller sets the stage during the reign of King Herod the Great, who ruled Galilee from 40 BC to 4 BC. Herod brought law and order to Galilee, stamping out highway robbers, clearing the roads of the sort of men who beat up the poor chap who finally was helped by the Good Samaritan. Herod built the magnificent Masada fortress, various palaces and ports, and also the second temple, sometimes called Herod's temple. Once Herod put down a three-year rebellion, recapturing Jerusalem for Rome. That was in 37 BC. And once he did that, the Roman Senate named him as King of the Jews, a title for which he had really worked hard. Herod did not want trouble. He certainly did not want another person recognized as King of the Jews by either locals or foreign intellectuals. When Herod heard that some of the Magi, or whatever, had arrived from possibly Persia, Iraq, wherever, because they had carefully read the skies and sensed that someone important had been born in the West, Herod was frightened. His insecurity was so great that even the news of a newborn king terrified him. This reminds me of politicians all over the world, some of whom will go to extreme lengths in order to stay in power. Herod then met secretly with the wise men, magicians, without his advisors, and he plotted. He wanted information if they ever found it. Why Herod did not simply have a spy follow these men beats me. The magicians, magi, wise men, rejoice when they see the star again and they follow it. No commentator has explained to me, to my satisfaction, how a star can move and then stop. If that star was that specific, why the detour to Jerusalem? I have no idea if the storyteller thought of this as a real star or as a metaphor symbolizing God's guidance. As we know, the story briefly mentions gifts the Magi, kings, wise men gave, which writers have come to understand as being symbolic. Gold, was associated with kings, and some writers suggest that this gold possibly paid for Joseph's family's trip to Egypt. Frankincense was associated with deities and was burned during certain worship ceremonies in Persia, Egypt, and at the special altar for incense in the temple in Jerusalem. Since this hardened resin was burned, some Christians felt that it symbolized Christ's body being offered up for us. Myrrh was associated with death and embalming. Some writers suggest that both frankincense and myrrh were easily portable and sellable in Egypt and could have covered family expenses until Joseph found work, possibly in Alexandria, which had more Jews than Jerusalem. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. When I look at this story and the other infancy stories in Matthew, I'm struck by how important dreams are to this writer and how the writer felt that dreams guided people's decisions. Joseph had a dream which convinced him to marry pregnant Mary. The Magi had a dream and took a different road. Joseph's second dream sends him all the way to far-off Egypt. Then another dream brings him back to Palestine. Once the Gospel's infancy stories are finished, we do not hear about dreams again until Pilate's wife warns Pilate that she has, quote, suffered many things in this day in a dream, unquote. In other words, she did not want Pilate to condemn Jesus. No other gospel ever mentions dreams, though dreams are mentioned in Genesis and Daniel and the visions in Acts, etc. When I look at this Epiphany story, I remember that it symbolizes Jesus being made known to non-Jews who sought him and worshipped him, for non-Jews worshipped Jesus before anybody else did. When I look at this story, I notice that foreigners from other faiths can be made aware of God's workings. Many of us were brought up to assume that our Western democratic way of living, as Protestants or even as Mennonites, was the best, that we have little to learn from other cultures and religions, and that we should make attempts to change them. But this story says, no, I most certainly can learn from people from other cultures and other faiths, for God also guides them. When I look at these infancy stories, I see that God worked not only through ordinary people, shepherds, carpenters, female cousins, but also through deep thinkers, magi, people who discussed life's mysteries together. This gives me encouragement since we here at this church enjoy pondering life's mysteries together. When I look at this story, I am reminded that I should not expect government to promote my ideas, ideals, and faith. Herod the Jew, the king of the Jews, was interested primarily in himself and not in helping the Christ child and certainly not in helping others. Oh, the fire and fury of it all. When I read this story, I am reminded that jealousy can lead to insane actions with dire consequences for other people. King Herod will eventually kill all the two-year-old boys in the general area. When I read this story, I am reminded that people in the Bible believed that they were somehow most definitely guided by God, whether by light, by thoughts, by dreams, by contemplation, by serious discussion, while studying all available information, both in books and in the sky. The Magi, wise men, were actively seeking divine guidance. It did not just drop on them out of nowhere. They worked to get it. Am I working to seek God's guidance? I do not expect that a star will ever be my guide, and thus far, my dreams are anything but divine revelations. But God can work in other ways when guiding us. For example, I see in my Bible that Rosie joined our fellowship on Epiphany 2008, a decade ago this Sunday. Rosie has often been a guide through what she says, through emails, through speakers she brings to us, through articles she finds and films she produces. Perhaps we no longer need dreams or guiding stars. We at PGIMF have many guiding stars among us. And then Evan has added this prayer. Jesus, may your light shine upon our way as once it guided the steps of the Magi, that we too may be led into your presence and worship you, the child of Mary, the word of the Father, the King of nationals, the Savior of mankind, to whom be glory forever. Amen.